Hey, have you turn with me to Luke chapter 1 and 2. Our theme this month is Christmas playlist. We've been looking at four songs as they're found in Luke 1 and in Luke 2. There's two songs in each. These aren't your normal songs as you and I think of songs, but they're called canticles in church history. They're simply a passage that has been put together, has been written out, and can be used as poetry, can be used in the early church as a chant. Some of these you would actually have Jewish music to sing along to. So we probably would not recognize the Jewish version of this at all, but it's a canticle. And they were written, the words were written so that they would promote doctrine. They would teach doctrine because back in the day they didn't have Bibles to read. So they would put something to a chant or to a rhyme, whether poetry or music, so that people could not only learn about Jesus, but learn how to pass that on to others. So we're looking at what's called a playlist, four songs. First song we looked at is Mary's Song, if you remember that, found in Luke 1, 46 through 55. It really talks about what is God like. And as Mary presents this first rendition of her song, it tells us three things about God. God is personal, God is powerful, and really what should help you and I, it's that God is a promise keeper. God, if he says something in his word, it's going to happen. God does not lie, the Bible says. Second song was Zechariah's song, and Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist. And he talked about why mankind needs Christmas, and that's found in Luke chapter 1, starting verse 67 through 79. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why does the world need Christmas? And there we simply learned about that, the fact that the world is lost in sin, and the center letter of the word sin is the letter I, and that's the root of all sin. Everybody's selfish. Everybody wants their own way. Everybody thinks they're a little God with their own little kingdom. Then we looked last week at the angel's song found in the first 14 verses of Luke. And it really, the angels tell us who was born on that first Christmas day, and we know that person as not Santa, right? It's Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Today we're looking at Simeon's song, and Lisa knocked it out of the park by finding that song called Simeon's Song, found in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35, and that will be our text today. In Simeon's song, we find out how should you and I as Christians be impacted by Christmas. Christmas should make a difference in our life. If it makes no difference, we've got to ask ourselves what's wrong with us as followers of Christ. So when we celebrate Christmas, it should impact us, and not just once and for all. It should impact us on a yearly basis. So we're looking at Simeon's song. Now, in the song, it had a line there about waiting, the idea of waiting. Does anybody here really enjoy waiting? Simple question. Do you enjoy sitting around waiting for something to happen? How many would say, yes, that's me? Look at the impatient people that we have. Now, most people, that's not a surprise. Most people do not like waiting. I am notorious for not enjoying that aspect of life. All surveys, questionnaires, in my own personal observation and experience says, humans do not, as a rule, enjoy waiting. We will wait, but it doesn't mean we what? We enjoy it. Now, going through lists of things that people detest about waiting, okay? Here are some of the things that are in the top 10. Standing in line. Do you like that? Well, you usually come back with how long of a line, right? People don't like waiting in line. How about being on hold while using the phone? You know, and they play that obnoxious music to you. Do you enjoy that? Lisa hates being on the phone. And if she's got to wait, it just drives her a little bit crazy. Anybody, what do you, do while you're waiting on the phone? Well, yeah, you hang up maybe, but after how long? Isn't that odd? Somebody says, I'm going to put you on hold. And we all are okay with that. Isn't it amazing how we can be conditioned? And then what's the longest you've ever been on hold? Sometimes I'll stay on hold just to prove a point. How many have been on hold over an hour? Was it a tech issue? Most people, it's a tech issue. Evie, how long were you on hold the other day? 45 minutes. Okay, a lot of you don't travel. Some of us do. How about airport security lines? Yeah, hear the groans. How about sitting in a doctor's office? Now think about it. They tell you your appointment's at 9, so you will get there. Are you an important person? Do you have things to do? But you come to a doctor's office, your appointment's at 9, and you could get in at 9:15, 9:20, 9:45, or have it canceled. Do you get a refund? Do you get an attaboy for waiting? But if you miss your appointment, chances are I have a doctor, look at me. Chances are you're going to be billed, correct? How about that? This is my pet peeve. Slow drivers, walkers, and talkers. Drives me out. Out of the three of those, I may dislike slow talkers the most. You send an email, you need to know something, or a text message. Denny forever is sending me text messages. Watch. Denny, no. Facebook, phone call, face to face. Every time I see your text, I go, I spit, all right? And somebody sends you a digital message, and they're waiting for a response, and you look at it and go, yep. Doesn't that just tick you off? Waiting for somebody to get back to you. This is my daughter, Amy, being fashionably late. There's being late. In our family structure, we call it Amy late. Dinner's at 2. She'll show up at 3. Okay? Now, at your table quickly, what is the one thing you most hate about waiting? Go. Talk about it. I'm glad you got that off your chest. I'm sitting here looking over here seeing Kevin Erb, who is an officer of the law. When I'm stopped because I'm going a little fast, and I admit that. At times that has happened in my life before I became a Christian. And an officer stops you. Don't they know that you're in a hurry? And then what do? They sit in their car for the longest time. This is part of cop school. Let's really aggravate the person we saw. And then have you ever looked in your rearview mirror as they get out? Cop school, what they teach them that, don't they, go? People will tolerate waiting up to a point. Sometimes we actually can enjoy waiting. You can't say you always hate waiting, because that'd probably be an overstatement. But think of kids waiting for Christmas. They're all excited, aren't they? I'm not coming down, Mom. Not me. No, if the object that we're waiting for has value, it's amazing how that affects you. Is my little cup up there? Oh, no, this was on the side of a cup. I hate waiting, but if it's waiting for you, I'll wait. Husbands, say that to your spouse, to your girlfriend, whatever it may be, to your dog, whatever. Now, we know that waiting has that waiting can have value to it, especially if the thing you're waiting for is important to you. Here's two sayings. You probably have all heard. I'll say the first part, see if you can say the second part. Good things come. Do you believe that? Sometimes, yes. Okay? How about this? Things worth having. There you go. We've heard that. I don't know that we practice it or believe it totally. Are the burpees here? No. Okay. It's been said it takes a lifetime to get a Green Bay Packer season ticket. You'll see that in a lot of articles and books. Now, think about this. You may want to jot some figures down. Lambeau Field, the home stadium of the Green Bay Packers, has a seating capacity of 81,435 seats. 81,435 seats. Now, that's a lot of people. It's not the biggest stadium, right? But it's a good-sized stadium. Here's the thing that's hard for us to wrap our little brains around. Up until 2020, that stadium was sold out every single year since 1960. Every game, every home game for that long. Folks, that's like nearly, do the math, 60 years. Sold out. 81,435 seats. There are only 36,200 season ticket holders. Only 36,000. There's 81,000. You mean there's 50,000 seats available every game? No. Because on the average, those 36,200 season ticket holders have three tickets. That would mean each one of you have three tickets. So the 36,000, if the average is three tickets per person, do the math. How many? They can't all get into the stadium. Sold out since 1960. On the waiting list, think about this. Waiting to get a season ticket, there are over 130,000 names. Waiting. Do you know how you get one of those? Either a divorce, the most hotly contested item in Wisconsin in a divorce are the Green Bay ticket season tickets. No kidding. Or somebody decides, I don't want to go anymore. Fat chance, because you would at least sell them. Or someone has to die. If you put your name on the waiting list, and many grandparents and parents put either their child or their grandchild at birth on that list, that person will wait minimum of 35 years before there's a chance for them to move up. And all the while, you're waiting for someone to die. You see, some things have value if you're willing to what? To wait. What's the most important thing you've ever waited for? Can some of you remember that? I've had grooms nearly pass out waiting for her to come down the aisle. I've never heard of a bride passing out, usually because dad's got her, I suppose. But that can be one of the longest walks in history, is sitting there and waiting for that moment when she completes the runway. But what's the most important thing you've ever waited for? How many would say birth of a child? I mean, at least your first kid. After that, who cares, right? First child gets all the attention, right? How about getting a call back on a job? How about a health diagnosis? One of my good friends in high school, very suddenly called, she was feeling ill. She called the ambulance to take her to the hospital, was not feeling right. got her to the hospital, and this is just in the last 2 weeks, told them the symptoms. Within 5 minutes, they had her going back for an MRI, found a huge mass in her brain. Just survived brain surgery. She's got less than a week to get the pathology report. You think she's anxious? What's the most important thing you've ever waited for? So think about that. Statistics show the average person spends, this is you, we're all average, 1 hour every day waiting for something. Here's what the polls tell us. Now, some of this may apply to us bumpkins here in Nowheresville, Michigan. Some may not. Traffic lights in Nashville. You ever wait for a traffic light? I've waited for manure trucks. Farm wagons, never waited at a traffic light. Your turn at an intersection. In Nashville, I actually get miffed if I have to wait more than 5 seconds at a stop sign. And here comes the parade. Fred driving 20 miles an hour. A mater with some piece of farm equipment. Susie Butler, you know, and I'm going, come on, let's go. How about standing in line to pay at a grocery store? Evie plays the game. Many of you do. Coming with the cart at Meijer. Which line is moving the... And then she's telling me, well, this guy goes really... Not that we don't want to be here. This guy's slow. You know what? Get in the line, you're still what? It's just a matter of how many seconds or minutes longer you're going to be there. You ever wait for a cup of coffee? It's a cup of coffee. Pour it all. No. How about going through fast food? There's a reason it's called that. It's not. How about this? Here's another thing that ticks people off. Your table at a restaurant. Have you ever just been waiting and you're eyeballing who came in after me? Who was here when I got, and then let them escort somebody who came after you in front of you. Do you pray right then and there for that person? Not at all. This is Pastor Don's thorn in the flesh. Waiting for my computer to boot up. When I was 30, I didn't tap. I'm not 30 anymore. I'm tapping a lot and a lot louder because I don't have that much time left to wait for this to boot up. Anybody else there with me? Probably an old person. How about... microwave, and you keep... Come on. And you're looking at is it keeping the right time? You ever get ticked off waiting at the microwave? All of those things aggravate us. 1 hour a day. It is estimated that if you're 70 years old, almost, the average amount of time you will have spent waiting is over 3 years. Therefore, I'm 67 now. I'm deducting that time. Doesn't count as part of my life. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. I'm reading from the New Living Translation this week. Okay? Our text is there. It's about a dude named Simeon. Not Simon. What's his name? Simeon. His name, if you're writing things down, it implies, carries the meaning, God has heard. So write that down. God has heard. What's the name Simeon mean? We first hear the name Simeon in Genesis 29. Some of you may remember that. Simeon is one of the 12 patriarchs of Israel, one of the sons. And his mother was Leah. When we read that text, we see that Leah was waiting to have a son. And when Simeon was born, that's what she called him. God has heard my prayer. God has heard my cry. So when we see the name Simeon here, it's interesting that Leah was waiting for something and named her son Simeon. And now we have Simeon waiting for something, and the song was all about that. What was Simeon waiting for? This guy had waited for many years. Most Bible scholars would say he was probably an old man in that culture. And when he got what he had waited for, he breaks out into the song. And it's what the early church would, again, would call a canticle. And they would repeat this over and over, whether to rhyme or a beat or a chant, so that people would understand truth. In verse 25, look what it says. At that time, remember, this is all in conjunction of these two chapters telling us about the birth of Jesus. At that time, at the time of what? Birth of Jesus. There was a man in Jerusalem, a man. Jerusalem had anywhere up to 30,000 people. Out of the 30,000 people, at least probably 16,000, 15,000, about half would have been men. The rest were women. There was a man. So out of this mass of humanity, masculine humanity, points to one guy, Simeon. You and I could go home today, forget everything else, and understand this. God knows your name. He knows where you live, and God has a purpose for your life. You could draw that just from this statement. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about this guy. And as you've heard from me countless times, 20 years after you're gone, who will remember you? So Simeon is important here because, wowza, 2,000 years, not only are preachers talking about him, people writing songs about him. Just prior to this passage, verse 21 through 24, again, context is everything. You can look at one verse, a passage, to try to discern meaning from it, but if you don't look at it in terms of context, what happened just prior to it, and what does this lead to? Context is what surrounds the verse or passage or word that you're looking at. Verse 21 through 24, we see the parents of Jesus, we call them who? Joseph and Mary. They're fulfilling all the Old Testament regulations because it's still Old Testament times. Verse 21 through 24 is important before we look at our passage. Because in verse 21 through 24, you see at least four things going on here. First of all, this baby, his name is Jesus, is circumcised. Circumcision is the outward symbol of an inward reality that this person belongs to God. For the Jewish people, circumcision sent them apart as a people group from all the others. They were special unto God. So number one, the parents say, okay, our son is Jewish. God has given him to us. He must be circumcised. Number two, following the circumcision, the boy is named. Okay, we could stop here and just talk about how you got your name and the importance of name. His name is Jesus. Jesus. It literally means Jehovah saves. An angel appeared to both Mary and to Joseph and said, you're going to name this little one Jesus. And that was intriguing because normally the parents got to name the child. Well, in a sense they did, but an angel told them, I'm not arguing with an angel. I'd love to see one. I'm not going to argue with him. So the angel gives them the name God wanted that boy to have, Jehovah Saves, which tells us his mission in life is to save, but it tells us his identity, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, this is God. You with me? Circumcision, then the naming, then the firstborn child is offered up to God for his service. Every Jewish family, the firstborn male child is offered up to God to be used in his service in some capacity. It's just what the Jewish people did. Very fitting for Jesus, I would think. Last thing is this. They make an offering to God. And if you read in verse 24, you'll see the offering that they make. That is simply to acknowledge their, mom and dad's, need for mercy, understanding that they're sinners. Now, that's the four things going on before we get to our text. Remember, Simeon's song is about how Christmas should impact our life. So as we start here in verse 25 through 35, what we're really looking at is what we've just celebrated here, Christmas, going into a new year, does that have any impact in my life besides the weight I gained? Anybody gain weight over the holiday? You with me? Did you chuck your scale? Susie here, Butler, I want to let her know I broke into the fruitcake last night and the tapioca pudding that she got me. All health food. Okay, so we've gained something from Christmas. We gained presents. We gained bills. We gained weight. But did you gain anything spiritually? And that's what we're going to look at in verse 25 through 35. Is seven characteristics from Simeon's life and from his song. They're lessons that we can look at and go, uh-huh, but then we better look at our life and say, is this true in my life? This is what God wants you and I to take from Christmas this year and move into the year 2021 with. Here's the first thing. In verse 25, we know there was a guy in Jerusalem named Simeon. And look at the second part of verse 25. It says, he was what? And righteous and devout. Again, your version of the Bible could be different. I'm in the New Living Translation this morning. Here's the point. He lived a life that honored God. He lived a life that honored God. Who would call you righteous and devout? People call you a lot of names. Right? And some of them are true. Some are made up. But regardless, people call us names. Who do you know that would look at you and call you righteous and devout? You see why we're still remembering Simeon nearly 2,000 years later? He's quite the dude. Righteous and devout. What does that mean? It means Simeon had a right standing with God. We know that having righteousness comes through our faith in God. So when people look at you at work, at school, in your family gatherings, does anybody see your faith in who? God. Do they? Do they? They may know that you go to church. That's not what I'm talking about. Do they see you as somebody who has a right standing with God, but better than that, a right standing with people? Wow. That's the rarity. And that's something that we need to look at as we move into the new year. Hey, you can't change 2020, right? You can't change it. But we can make changes for 2021. Yes or no? Sure we can. So he was a righteous man, right standing with God, right standing with people. And then it uses this little word, and devout. Devout. It's a churchy word, don't you think? Isn't it sort of religious? I could have you write a definition down. I don't know that many of us would get it. You know how I know that? Because I had to look it up. It's a word that I might use sometime. But we use words all the time and we don't exactly know the meaning of it. The word devout here means cautious. Cautious. Here's one of the things I've noticed about me as I've approached the 100-year mark. Think on that for a moment. Because you are too, by the way. You too are approaching the 100-year mark. Is now when I go down steps, I used to just, nay, nay. May not be the smartest thing. So now I'm just a little bit more cautious on how I walk. It implies that not only was he right with God and right with others, but he was cautious in the things that he, in the things that he, and the things that he. As we move into 2021, you want to be like Simeon, who is righteous and devout? Have a faith relationship in Christ. Play nice with others and be cautious in the things that you do. I was going to break in the song just now, but I decided, nay, nay. I will be cautious. Christmas was God's gift to us. And one thing we can learn is we should be right with God and live a little bit better next year than what we did this year. Anybody with me on that? All right. Here's the second thing. He waited for the will of God. He lived a life that honored God. He waited for the will of God. Look at verse 25, just a little bit further into the verse. I love when you look at a verse and just sort of pick it apart and think on it. and was eagerly waiting. Didn't we just talk about how we hate to wait? He was eagerly waiting. I'm going, dude, what's wrong with you? He definitely was not a high D choleric temperament. He was waiting, eagerly waiting, for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. You see, we wait for things that mean something to us. We wait for things that are valuable. We wait for things that we're in love with or love. He was waiting for the Messiah to come to rescue Israel. The Messiah's coming was a matter of prophecy. Jews were not like, do what? A Messiah? Where? No, they had heard about this for hundreds of years. And you go to the book of Daniel. Daniel actually prophesies the time. Micah prophesies the city in which he would be born. So the Jews were waiting. But at this time, first century Israel and first century world, there is a messianic fervor. Almost every culture that has ancient writings, if you look back in that time period, they were all talking about a savior, talking about a king, talking about a warrior. Sort of sounds like a Messiah that was going to come. All cultures were thinking that way and looking forward to it. And he was no different. He was no fool. He knew the Old Testament. So he had an inkling of when this was going to take place. The idea of waiting and being prepared is seen in Simeon, okay? Pause, time out. The Bible says Jesus came and he left. And he's what? Coming again. Are you eagerly waiting for the Messiah's second appearance? Only the shadow knows, okay? You know, God knows. Does it really matter to you if Jesus comes back? He's coming back, we're going to say, sort of two times. One in the rapture for Christians, to take every Christian from planet Earth before his judgment on planet Earth. And then really the second final appearance, because he doesn't touch down then, but the second appearance is when he judges humanity. Are you excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back? And that is evidenced by our thoughts, by the way we walk, by the way that we talk, how we use our money, and how we use our time. Simeon is in the temple of God waiting for the Messiah to come. In 2021, as a group, as a people, as a family, let's start keeping our eyes on the skies and anticipate Jesus coming back and pray that he comes back. And I know what younger people are thinking. I haven't been on a date yet. I don't even own a telephone. Those are good things. Trust me. Okay? I know I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back because I'm a little tired of planet Earth. I'm tired of our culture. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the insanity. I'd like to live in heaven. Now, do you think that way? Only you know and God knows. But in 2021, let's sort of keep our eyes a little elevated and say, Jesus, we're looking forward to you. I'd like you to come back. But then you got to want that. And the reality is a lot of church people don't, because this is your heaven. This is your world. Oh yeah, Jesus is a nice add-on, but really? Are you looking forward to him? Look, he didn't just wait for the Messiah. He was, what's the key word? Eagerly. Here's the third thing we can learn about Simeon. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. Empowered. The Spirit of God was like the battery inside of him. We've all sort of seen the Energizer Bunny commercials and other commercials where, you know, things need to be plugged in, they need to be properly charged. The Holy Spirit is the proper charge for Christians. It says the latter part of verse 25, the Holy Spirit was what? Upon him. And in verse 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 2 to 3 other times, depending on your version of the Bible. Simply said, Simeon was somebody who relied upon the Holy Spirit to empower him. He didn't try to wing it in life and control life in the flesh. Does that make sense to you? All of Christmas, the whole story communicates that it's all about God. Only God can save us. Only God can strengthen us. Only God can meet our needs. Try to do it in the flesh, you're going to fall short every time. Simeon was somebody who relied upon God's Spirit in his life. Question to us is, do we? The Bible commands us as Christians, be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells you as a Christian, but you have to relinquish control of your life daily to him. Not just when you get in a jam. One of the fun things to do in 2021 would be see what would happen in your life, in your family, in our church, if we every morning woke up and say, hey, God, empty vessel, fill me up. Give me your Spirit, and I'll witness for you. I'll live for you. I'll be nice to others for you. Wouldn't that be cool? What a nicer place you would have called home if you were Spirit-controlled. Simeon was somebody who was empowered. God was his battery, and that can happen for you and I in the new year. Here's the fourth thing. He listened to the Word of God. Look at verse 26. He listened to the Word of God. Note in verse 26, it says, and had revealed to him, the Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He was listening to God. God told him something. You know, God speaks to you if you shut off your electronics long enough, if you'd shut your mouth and shut your own little brain down and just say, Lord, I'm giving you the next 5 minutes, next 10 minutes, next hour, whatever it's at. Just speak to me. I really believe God will speak in your heart, in your mind, and for sure he will speak to you through his word. My challenge to you in the new year, listen to God more and less to your electronics. Listen less to the fake news that is out there. Listen more to what God's Spirit wants to tell you. One of the things we're doing in the New Year's, we have a Bible reading program called The Great Ones. Every week we're going to read a chapter of God's Word, Old Testament and New Testament, for the whole year. A couple weeks there, you may read 2 chapters. We're going to read a chapter. If you're in a home group, this is your little work study devotional book. These are found in CJ's. This costs you $2. You'll be able to follow along, read the chapter, write comments down, talk about them. But this isn't just for home groups. It's for everybody. But if you're in a home group, you need to get one of these. We have all kinds of helps in here, how to look at Scripture, how to listen to God, how to apply it to your life. And in 2021, here's what we're looking at. 3 things. As you read a chapter of Scripture. And we're not going to say just read it once for the week. Read it several times. It's not a lot. Read the chapter a couple times. And then answer these questions. What did he say? Who do you think he is? God. And then secondly, what does the passage say to you? There's many times I'll read the Word of God. Oh, God says this, this, this. Oh, he's saying this to me. Or he's saying this to me. Third thing is this, what will you say to others? You've read this chapter, so what are you going to talk about to other people this week? That's a brilliant reading program, folks. Simeon listened to God. So should we. I encourage you to get this. You can go to our website. It's up there. Look at that, magically. Just love the way God does that. He reads my mind, goes, really? Oh, there it is. You can go to our website, gc3.org/what's-the-next-word, and you'll have the Bible reading plan there. But if you want all of the helps, you need to spend $2. Whoa. You say, I don't know if I've got $2. Brian Krause, raise your hand. He does. Okay? $2, and you can read with grace for the whole year. Number five, he followed the leading of God. Number five, he followed the leading of God. Look at verse 27 with me. That day the Spirit led him, Simeon, to the temple. Notice it doesn't say Simeon just said, oh, I got nothing better to do, I'll go to the temple. The Spirit led him. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, I love these three words in verse 28. Simeon was, boy, that was just thrilling to hear somebody read my mind. Simeon was where? There. Now, the intriguing thing is this. This took place 40 days after the birth of Jesus. Yeah. In the Bible, numbers mean something. 40 throughout the Old and New Testament signifies testing, judgment, or an unveiling of some particular truth. The number 40 is used, based on my random count, 159 times in Scripture. And if you, right now, aren't you running some things in the Bible that took 40 days? 40 nights? Hint, hint, rain. Now here's the deal. God has a plan for our lives, and he leads us by his Spirit. You see, you can't follow the leading of the Spirit until you're empowered by the Spirit and then listen to the Word of God. He then leads you. And we have talked all for 2 years now about you are here and God wants you there. You don't get there unless you're empowered by the Spirit and listen to him. And here's the sad reality. God has a plan for your life. He never saved you or created you to be mediocre or to be average or to be junk. God created you, the only you there will ever be, and he wants you to be the best you that you can possibly be, but you cannot do it apart from his Spirit. And then you listening and then letting the Spirit lead you step by step. Sixth thing, he praised the name of God. He praised the name of God. Look at, with me at verse 28. He took the child in his arms. Can you imagine holding Jesus? You ever hold a baby? Aren't you sort of careful? Gosh, I hope I don't break it. How many have ever thought that? And now you've got God in your arms. I told you, I think it was last week, I have a picture of me and my son, Brandon. Got him in my arm. I'm doing the Heisman like that, and my wife was freaking out. Don't you drop him! Don't you drop him! He's got God in his arm, and he says, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He, baby, is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. He praised the name of God. In 2021, let's praise God more and criticize life less. What do you think? There's a lot to criticize. Yeah? Let's be honest, isn't there? But isn't there a lot of God to worship and praise? Let's sort of focus ourselves there. Number seven, he shared the truth of God. He shared the truth of God. It says in verse 33, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Oh, my little baby. You can see the little smile on their face. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fail. She's going, what? And many others to rise. Joseph's going, he speaketh forked tongue. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And he's looking right at Mary, holding her baby. And a sword will pierce your very soul. What mother with a little baby wants to hear that downer of a message? The deal is this. When we share the truth of God, truth has, it's like a sword, the Bible says, and it can cut deeply. Sometimes truth hurts, but truth still needs to be said. Now, the Bible tells us how we say the truth. We are to speak it in, but we cannot hold back truth. And as our country moves into a new year, there's a tendency amongst Christians, especially after this year, I just won't say anything. People don't seem to like what I'm saying. Watch this. If it's truth, it's truth. But be cautious of how you say your truth. Does that make sense? We cannot hold back the Word of God. Colin worked very hard on putting his testimony together. People may not like to hear that. Colin, it's for you. It's truth. Speak truth in, but speak truth. Seven lessons we can learn from Simeon as we move into the new year. Father, for our people, we look at your word, and it's very, very simple. You give us word pictures. You give us human examples that we can learn from, but that we can model our lives after. May our people in 2021 be more like Simeon and less like the person they are in 2020. May they become more like Simeon, righteous and devout, truth talkers, empowered people, people lifting up your name positively.